What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman. His book is Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to another world. We've been hurrying with NASA to lunar orbit. We pause now because this is taking place inside the Cold War, which, for those of us who lived through it, was massive. Every moment there was the possibility of nuclear weapons exchanges. In fact, there were many instances during the Cold War where accidents could have led to catastrophe that we can only speculate about now. At the same time, Bob, throughout his story, relates ongoing crises that very much are backdrops to NASA's striving to reach the moon. Remember, it was a mission set by Jack Kennedy, who dies tragically, involved in the fantasies of a young man who had defected to the Soviet Union and then pretended to be either anti-Cuban or pro-Cuban. And Kennedy's mission was passed off to Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson applies himself, builds the Houston Manned Space Program, and continues at the same time to involve the U.S. in the Vietnam War, their civil rights at home, and the Berlin crisis, which he inherited from Jack Kennedy. At the same time, there was the Cuban Missile Crisis. I could go on with crises, invasions, Prague Spring of 68. This chaos, I was a young person at the time in university. This chaos was all presented to us as the way of the world. You just get used to this chaos, but it always was backed up by nuclear weapons. NASA was seen as outside of the military contest, but as I read Bob's recitation and remind myself, this was a race to be the superior culture over the Soviet Union, which had been bragging and boasting of its Roscosmos. Bob, I want to go back even further. Khrushchev, who was replaced in 64 by Brezhnev, was a man who drove the Roscosmos program, and the United States didn't know that. We didn't know that they were stunts, and so NASA was always playing catch-up, and I still feel that even though we're in orbit around the moon now with Apollo 8, there's a sense of what's going to happen next. Is that accurate, Bob? Is that your conversation with them? We don't know.
Yeah. We have to also put the context, the political context of 1968 itself. That was really one of the most tumultuous years of the 1960s. You listed a lot of things beginning in the 60s with Khrushchev sending off military stunts, Khrushchev and the UN saying, "We will bury you." But by 68, the Vietnam was at its height. There were riots all year. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Robert Kennedy was assassinated. Czechoslovakia was invaded by the Soviet Union. This was a very difficult year with a lot of ugly things happening, all related to this Cold War. Because Vietnam, we were in Vietnam because of the Cold War, and the students in the world like you did not want to go because it was not a well thought out military action. There was no sense to why we should do it. The NASA was part of the Cold War, a part of the battle in the Cold War, but unlike the military aspects, it was a civilian program trying to just simply do great things. And I must add that in Russia, their Roscosmos program to go into space, in a sense, was the same thing, just trying to do great things. Now, both were trying to prove their way of life was better, but nonetheless, this was not a military action. This was trying to demonstrate the ability of the human race to explore the universe by both sides. And that gave it a positive tint that was very different from the rest of the Cold War, and without question, contrasted strongly with what was going on then earlier in the rest of 1968.
I read also, Bob, there's a military culture at NASA. The three astronauts are military veterans. That was important to them.
John, I'm going to interrupt. NASA did not have a military culture. I just dispute that. The astronauts were definitely came out of the military because they had jet pilot and aviation experience. That's why they picked them in the initial days. They were test pilots. They were willing to risk their lives. But the people who ran NASA were not military people generally. They were civilians, engineers, managers. They ran it in a sense like the military because they were thinking in terms of World War II. We have a big mission. We've got to organize and we've got to do it smart. I dispute the saying that NASA was a military operation because they were not secretive as a general rule. They were not. So I just dispute that. I'm sorry. I have to say that.
Fine. You were the author. I'm reading into it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
1968 was a very bad year. You've touched on some of the disasters. There was no reason to expect there was going to be a 1969. It was that dire. And then the presidential contest with Lyndon Johnson dropping out, there was no center. And the way NASA was presented, Bob, and I remember Norman Mailer writing the book about the Apollo mission. This would be 68, 69, because it's all going to happen very quickly. He mocked NASA as an expression of the superior military culture of America to win the Cold War.
One of the things that happened after this mission was there was an attempt to slander NASA in as many ways as possible. Now, I will point out that one of the problems that NASA had, one of the fundamental problems of this entire program, was that even though Kennedy did it to prove that a free people could do it better, he adopted a Soviet-style, top-down, government-run program. And so even though he was trying to prove a free people could do it, and NASA depended on private companies to do everything, most things, in the end, it was a Soviet-style program. And this was one of the saddest lessons that came out of Apollo 8. It taught our generation, you and me, the 60s baby boom generation, that the government's the way to do things. And so for the next 50 years, we relied on having a space program, not a free industry, another NASA running everything. And that's one of the great tragedies. It's not so much that it was a military operation, Don, but it was a top-down, centralized, command-structured program. Even if they'd relied on private enterprise to do things, it was still the government in control. And that was the tragedy that came out of this, and it was unfortunate. There were opportunities in the early 60s to allow private enterprise to do this kind of stuff outside of the government, and the government actually stepped in to stop it and let NASA take over.
One more observation, Bob. It was a dead end. Did they see that at the time, a dead end?
I don't know if any of NASA didn't see it as a dead end. They really hoped that they go on to explore the moon, to settle the moon, build bases. But the truth of the matter is, because it was a long, overall single stunt to win the Cold War, once the landing was achieved, it died. And it died partly because it was a government program, and Americans don't like their money spent. If a lot of people don't want their money spent on this, then it's going to lose political support, and that's exactly what happened.
Bob Zimmerman, the book is Genesis, the story of Apollo 8, the first manned flight to another world. When we come back, it's Christmas Eve. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.